The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on June 11, 2003. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, tonight we're going to look at this matter of Shikantaza, which is not easy to talk about. And so Norm is here to keep me straight on everything.
I'm just here to get some pointers.
Yeah, well, not much to say about Shikantaza. Still, I feel that every few years, you know, I should give a talk like this, because your meditation, as you continue to meditate with some regularity, your meditation will change. And I think it's good just to maybe revisit that from time to time, and also just simply to indicate to you what to be looking for here. Recently, maybe the person is here because I don't remember who it was, but somebody told me they had heard, somewhere they heard me say to leave off with counting the breath as soon as you can. You know, that's sort of a kind of an early stage. Yeah, well, you can go back to that once in a while, just to use it to help you get a little focused once in a while if you're kind of distracted in your meditation, certainly. But generally, that's something we would use near the beginning to kind of get us used to just staying there with the breath. Well, this person told me this was news to them, that they'd been counting the breath for years now, you know, and they thought that this was the meditation. Well, you don't want to do that because... or use any other gimmick, for that matter. Because if you do, that's what you're going to be stuck with. There'll be you and then whatever it is that you're using to put you in touch with that thing out there. It leaves us caught in dualism, basically. Shikantaza is meditation in its simplest form. It can't possibly get any more simple than this. Three elements: body, mind, breath. This is... it reduces down to that, with no gimmicks, no candy, nothing that you're using or grasping. Not even the breath. Of course, breath is there. Breath is present. We're always breathing, but we're not exactly following the breath anymore. Well, we'll get into this here in just a minute. But this sign I put up behind me, those of you who've taken the basic class in meditation, do you remember this? Talk about, there are three other forms I had up: the relaxation, trance, and visualization, different kinds of meditation. And we talked about tranquility and awareness. That's the vipassana, is the awareness, meditation. And tranquility, or concentration. But talking about letting the mind settle down, get kind of settled, focused, become present here with awareness. These two things generally don't work together. You have to cultivate that and bring that out in yourself, because when we settle down, well, you can settle down, but then you might also go into trance, which is not Shikantaza. There's awareness with Shikantaza, not with trance. But of course, you're not very disturbed. That's very nice, you know. And the Buddha used trance meditations, but he also noticed that that doesn't lead to awakening, to awareness of what is taking place. But it's a nice, you know, you want to just kind of get out of this painful circumstance, sure. So it becomes kind of like an escape, or like a drug, or something like that. It becomes very addictive, even. And they're not particularly helpful. They're even really kind of dangerous, those kinds of meditations. And I've done trance meditation, and I don't really recommend it, and the Buddha didn't really either, because sooner or later you come out of the trance. I mean, sooner or later you have to eat or something, you know, so you come out of the trance, and you're right back here with no understanding from what we had before. But with awareness just by itself could leave you caught up in agitation. You know, because you're aware of this little thing and that little thing. And we talk about awareness in meditation, or the Buddha talked about awareness. He said, you know, when he asked the sum of his teaching in a single word, he said, awareness. This is what his teaching is about. This is what this practice is about, awareness. You know, so you think, well, if you're aware of what? You're aware of this and that and the next thing, and you're aware of what you're thinking, you're aware of all kinds of stuff going on here. Well, that can leave you kind of agitated. So we're not talking about awareness of one thing. And besides, you can't maintain awareness of every little thing. And that's not what we're talking about when we speak of awareness, or what the Buddha was speaking of when he said awareness. This practice, this teaching, is a practice of awareness. It isn't what he was talking about when he said, those who are aware do not die. Those who are ignorant are as if dead already. That's not the kind of awareness that he's talking about, that the kind of awareness we might be thinking of. Awareness of one thing or another. We're talking about awareness itself. Awareness of reality. It's an objectless awareness. Where do we find that? You find it in tranquility, not in agitation. So it is very important then to get these two together. This tranquility and awareness. Settle the mind down, but not into fixing on a particular point. We'll talk about that a little later maybe. Single-pointed concentration. What is that exactly? It's not what we tend to think. Something small, fixed, separate and apart from you, leaving you still locked in your ego. We're talking about something really quite different than when we talk about single-pointed. We're talking about a dimensionless point that isn't located anywhere. But this is awareness like this, where we're settled down and just awake to what is actually taking place without taking hold of it, without grasping, without seeing whatever it is that's appearing here in some kind of a substantial way, and yet with full awareness of just what is taking place. Well, this is to bring these two together, tranquility and awareness, and this is called Shikan. Shikan, ta. Ta just means precisely, exactly, the exact point or exact spot. Za, of course, means to sit in Japanese. So Shikan Taza, tranquility, awareness, in tandem, together. Tranquility and awareness in such a way that it isn't tranquility or awareness. It isn't like two things here. It's tranquility and awareness are one thing. Okay, and this is that's the ta, that's precise, that's exact. Okay, tranquility and awareness. So we don't really have a word for that. Well, we can say Shikan, I suppose, because it's good enough for us. You say tranquility awareness, we'll keep thinking tranquility awareness. But we're talking about Shikan. These two are actually not even merged. There's no distinction here between these two. And that's ta, that's exact, that's precise. And, of course, we're talking about this being associated with sitting. And so it is called just sitting, or exactly so, you know, sitting. You know, something like that. Well, that's Shikan Taza. But there's a lot of trouble with calling it this, especially we call it something like just sitting, because then we end up thinking that it's just sitting, that it's about just sitting. But Katagiri Roshi, remember Norm, he'd talk about Shikan basketball. He'd always pull out basketball at that point. I don't know why. It was always basketball. Shikan basketball used to be the first on it. And then he'd mention a few other things. Shikan driving, I don't know, Shikan doing dishes, but he'd always start out with basketball, it seems to me, if I remember. But Shikan, just so. So it doesn't have to be just sitting, you see. Okay, then what are we talking about here, this Shikan, this tranquility and awareness? Well, there's a book I picked up when I was in Japan, and he talks about it's the essence of Dogen, and he brings out a few points here on Dogen, what Dogen had to say about Shikan Taza. I'll just talk from here a little bit. It might help to bring out a few points. He says, Dogen Soto sect. Dogen would hate that right off the top. He, you know, who calls this a Soto sect, he says. And he says, I tell you, it's a devil, right? It's a demon that calls this a Soto sect. Dogen didn't talk that way. He never thought of himself as... you know, this is just this, you know. this practice, Zen. So, but this guy here is saying, Dogen Soto sect is one of the sects which belong to the Zen sect, and its characteristic is that it accentuates Zazen more than anything else. Yeah, might be a problem with that, though. Shikantaza, a single-minded sitting in Zazen, which Dogen advocates, is the best expression of this teaching. It means to sit intently with single-mindedness, he says. Shikantaza, to sit intently with single-mindedness. But then he goes on here across the way. He says, what Dogen teaches by advocating Shikantaza is that everyday life should be lived in the spirit of Zazen. Now remember that. That everyday life should be lived in the spirit of Zazen. But we have this, what he said here earlier, it means to sit intently with single-mindedness. So then we think somehow that the sitting that we do is special, something separate, apart from what? From everything else that we do? Not really, not if we understand the spirit of Zazen or the spirit of Zen practice or this practice of Shikantaza or just Shikan. Shikan, whatever we have to do. We take this spirit into our daily life, basically, is what Dogen's way is. So that our way of thinking that somehow that we abandon everything but Zazen, and some people take up this practice in this way, becomes very narrow, becomes very, I don't know, unworldly, unearthly. I mean, it just, you know, what are you doing? And it's also like escapism or something like this. And people will fall into that trap. When in fact, what we are doing is cultivating a mind that can be here with full awareness and tranquility. This is what we are cultivating in this practice. And this is the spirit of Zazen. And this is really essentially this practice of Shikan. Kadagiri Roshi used to speak of this, the spirit of Zazen. Then he said it's zero or 100%. This is Zen practice. He says Zen practice is zero or 100%. That means that whatever it is that you're taking up in this moment, you take it up completely at 100%. You do it wholeheartedly, totally, completely. And if it isn't something that you ought to be messing around with or working with or whatever, but if you take it up wholeheartedly and with this spirit of just being aware of what it is that you're doing, you'll see that. And if you're wise, of course, or if you really do want to practice Shikantaza or this spirit of Zazen, you'll set it down if it isn't particularly wholesome activity that you're engaged in. So this is very important. So we will engage ourselves then in whatever it is that we're doing, we engage it wholeheartedly, totally at 100% or 100% zero. We go to zero, which is 100%, not to pick it up. And this is basically to live our lives in this fashion. That's what this practice is. And this is what Shikantaza is really about, is cultivating a mind like this. So whatever you take up in your life, of course, now we live very complicated lives. We're not back in 13th century Japan. We're not back in the mountains. We're not in a monastery, etc. And we have very complicated lives, and our livelihoods and whatever are embedded in this complex economy and society and all the rest of this. And it's very difficult for us. Nevertheless, if we cultivate the spirit of this practice and this mind of Shikantaza, we're going to be engaging ourselves in whatever it is that we're doing completely, wholeheartedly, totally, and to the extent that you start to see what it is in this practice that maybe you don't need to take up, maybe you don't need to pick up. And you'll also see what it is in this practice that's worthwhile and that you need to do. But to do it completely, not haphazardly or where we're not really present. You know, somewhere I know I described an example of, well, like when you make a cup of coffee and you just, you know, maybe you're having a conversation or whatever. You're talking and you're making coffee and you're reaching in the cup, but you're hardly paying any attention to what you're doing. You know, you're doing several things now and you're not really paying much attention to any of them. And it isn't like, don't you ever dare slip into that kind of a mind. I mean, I'm not talking about that. We all do, and I do too. But our practice is to spot this and to catch ourselves in this moment and to bring ourselves back to a full awareness of what it is that we're doing. and to engage ourselves in this way. This is what we practice. And it doesn't have anything to do with coming here for a certain period of time between when the bells are ringing. No, this is something that even though the bell rings and we get up and then we leave, we still carry this mind. We still engage this practice as we go out there into the world. He says that the ultimate meaning of Shikantaza is to practice Zazen alone. But then he says, in other words, that one should do this at least. One should take up this practice at least. To do Zazen, this is, or Zazen only or something like that. But to do Zazen alone, just remember, too, Katagiri Roshi used to, I've given you this plenty of times, but he would point out that the Chinese character for Zazen is two people sitting on the earth. So when we're talking about doing Zazen alone, it doesn't mean, in isolation, like you're cut off and separate. No, you can't do Zazen in that way. We do Zazen with all beings. Really, we do Zazen as all beings, meaning that ultimately if we're doing Zazen, we have forgotten ourselves. So you're not even doing that with all beings. There's no you there separate from all beings. So Zazen alone doesn't mean then you're doing this like a hermit or somehow in isolation. It means one should do this at least. Well, do what at least? At least whatever it is that you do, at the minimum what you are doing is that you will take this up wholeheartedly. This is what he's saying here. This is what this practice is. So at a minimum, maybe you won't study the sutras. Maybe you won't engage the precepts. See, this is one of the dangers, I think, in the Soto school, where people start talking about just do Zazen, and we keep thinking of it as sitting and just sitting, wholehearted devotion to sitting. We forget about all this other stuff, but like you said earlier, for Dogen, the spirit of this was to take this into daily life, everyday life. That means that whatever you do, you take it up wholeheartedly. Well, what are we doing? Well, we're doing things like talking and reading and socializing with other people and engaged in various things. In our reading, we might be reading Buddhist thought and literature as well as other kinds of things. But we engage this wholeheartedly. So if we're reading something, well, maybe we pause and think about what it is that we've just read here. Maybe take notice of what it is that you do think. Take notice of how it is that you are interacting with others, how you're speaking, how you're acting. He said, do this at least, just at a minimum, engage this practice wholeheartedly and totally. Well, if we do it in that way and in that spirit, of course we are going to be looking at how we are acting and speaking. In other words, though we might say, well, I'm not going to take up this practice of the precepts, we tend to focus just on the sitting. Well, that's what I was going to say too, that in this school, very often I find, people thinking of this, this precepts kind of gets short shrift. So does, the teaching. Oh, that's just intellectual stuff, reading the sutras. But nevertheless, you are thinking, you are speaking, you are reading, you are interacting in this way. And if you learn to just do at least this, at least what? Just totally engage in whatever it is that you are doing. Well, you start to notice that you are, in fact, actually carrying out these other basic divisions of the Eightfold Path, which is right wisdom and right conduct, right? As well as this right discipline of mind, which is the engagement of the meditation or the concentration and awareness. In other words, if you really take this practice up wholeheartedly and completely, you will be engaged totally, wholeheartedly, completely in this practice. And not as something separate that you study over here and then you go over here and you do your Zazen and then you go out to your job and then you do this and you do that. It's not as all, you do this across the board. And that's what he's saying. At least do this. That's what he's saying here. And this is the spirit of this practice of just sitting or just engaged in this practice. So in other words, whatever it is that we take up, we're doing it and we're doing it wholeheartedly. He says essentially what Shikantaza aims at is a way of making the Buddha Dharma attainable, simple, and familiar. A practitioner recognizes that some kind of purity and inclusiveness is found in Shikantaza, so that if you do engage your life wholeheartedly, completely, totally in each moment, shikan, whatever it is, in each moment, you take it up in this way, then there's a kind of purity, he says here, purity and inclusiveness. And you can recognize this, you can sense it, perhaps even just pointing it out now, if you're digesting what it is that this is pointing to here, you might be getting a sense of it now, a kind of purity. And he says, such purity asks that one should not practice Zazen for any profit-motivated type of ambition, such as that of becoming a Buddha. The truth of Shikan Taza is Zazen for Zazen's sake, whatever it is that you're engaged in this moment, for the sake of just that very engagement in this moment, totally, wholeheartedly, completely, it is done for that reason. That if you are taking up this practice, and it's okay if you are, if you're doing this, it's quite normal, but if you're taking this up for some reason, you want to get something, you want to become Buddha, you want to become enlightened, you want this or that, you want to become a Zen hotshot, or if you want to become a priest, you shave your head and you put on the robes and all that, that's fine. But just be aware that there's still some refinement that can go on. And also, there's another way to think of your practice is as a continuous refinement of your life, really. And don't expect perfection in any given moment. Don't expect it, maybe. But, well, maybe you should expect it, but just bring yourself back. But don't get down on yourself. Don't scold yourself. Don't qualify yourself in some way. Just return to the full engagement of whatever it is that you're doing in each moment. And there's a kind of a purity in this. To the extent that you can bring yourself back to this, then we can forget ourselves, that we take up whatever the activity of the moment is, we take it up wholeheartedly, totally, just for its own sake, forgetting how we look, how we're doing, what kind of points we get for this, or anything else. Just forget that, because to the extent that you do that, you haven't engaged this mind of Shikan Taza. Some people tell me that they think they find Shikan Taza. Well, maybe you do, but I want you to understand, if you're thinking that, just you look very carefully at what it is that you're thinking. What motive, what little bits of things you're clinging to that are still found in your mind as you engage this practice. To the extent that you find such stuff going on in your mind, don't scold yourself, get down on yourself, think you're evil and corrupt and bad and no good and you can't. Just realize that it is there. And realize that what you really want to engage in is this practice as it is in its full purity. And I think you can find that also in your heart. In other words, what you want, what we all want, is the truth. We want reality. We don't want something that we're just slapdashing together, slapping a label on and making it look pretty good. That's not really what we want. Sometimes maybe we'll think we'll settle for something like that because maybe we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust this practice. We don't believe that we are inseparable from the truth, that we're already in touch. Maybe we don't really trust that, but then look at that, if that is what's taking place within your mind. And realize that you absolutely have no reason whatsoever to doubt yourself, or to think that you're not a Buddha already, but for the fact that we just keep loading all this other stuff onto it. So with that, we can kind of find, maybe in the back recess of this practice that we're doing, that there is this kind of purity of mind. In other words, that we can actually, and maybe for a moment we do find this, where we are actually just engaged in the moment, whether it's sitting in Zazen or doing the dishes or anything else, that we're just doing that. Wholeheartedly, completely. We don't even have to evaluate it like, boy, this feels pretty good. I'm really with this. Yeah. And maybe we have such feelings. That's fine, but we don't need to evaluate that and put anything on that. The next thing you know, of course, we're back to our old stinky mind and ways and all the rest of that. And that's okay. But just realize what this practice is to come back to that and to come back to that. So if you say you do Shikan Taza, if you're sitting, your practice is Shikan Taza, but just realize that Shikan Taza, when we do find that mind in Shikan Taza, you're not there. You're not there with any kind of motive for doing this. There's just this total engagement of the moment. So that's the kind of purity that he says that we can find. And he said there's also this inclusiveness that's found in it. And he said this inclusive means that all the precepts, I already kind of talked about this, that all the precepts of the Buddha are included in Zazen itself. Yeah, because if you're totally engaged in this moment, completely taking it up, yeah, then the precepts are being kept because we are fully aware. Of course, if we're just sitting in Zazen, maybe we're not talking, maybe we're not doing it. But if we're engaged in some activity with this mind of Shikan, then we are fully aware of our conduct, our speech, our action, and the precepts are in effect included within this. A couple other points he brings up. He says that, well, Dogen encourages us to become priests. You know that? He encourages you to become a priest so we can devote ourselves to Zazen practice. You know, and that's the life of the priest. You know, we think that the priest, because you see me teaching, you see Norm teaching, you see some of these other guys, you know, they do some teaching. But just remember, some of you lay folks, you also do some teaching, you know. And if not even formally, you know, we can all do this. This isn't what sets the priest apart. And it isn't really clear here just what it is that sets the priest. Well, the priests aren't really set apart. But here's another opportunity for me to just say a few words about this, that to take up these vows of a priest means just simply that you... There's no guarantee you're going to become actually a teacher, maybe, or that you'll get Dharma transmission or enlightenment or anything like that. Of course, there's merit in it, as I say. But the merit comes from your heart and from the fact that you actually do this. You can actually do this, what I'm about to say, even if you're not a priest. But what are we talking about? We're talking, once again, about this shikan, about this total engagement in the activity of the moment. And to take up the priest life means that you are going to take up this practice, not just simply in your daily life, as maybe a lay person would, but you're actually going to take up this practice of meditation. And that you not only do it just for yourself, but you'll come here, and it's not even that you're doing this for others, that I will come here to the Zendo and sit here because it helps to encourage other people to come and sit. You don't have to put all that on there, but the fact is that if you're going to take on the life of the priest, this is what you're going to be doing. This is what you said you're going to do. You're going to come and you're going to practice like this, and it will help other people as well as yourself. But we don't think about it, doing it in those terms. Because if you're really engaged in this practice, you're not even thinking about yourself at all or about the effects that this is having. You're just simply engaged in that practice. But this is what it means to be a priest, is to take up this practice wholeheartedly, completely, totally. That's your primary concern. It won't be with career and job and family life or anything else. It's primarily this is what you're going to be doing. This is what you've... Of course, we can't really draw these lines anywhere. I mean, you might have a family life. You might have a job and a career, etc. But you have vowed to make this practice your life. That's kind of the mainstay in your life. Otherwise, we can just remain in lay life, and that's perfectly fine too. But the point he's going to be making here, and maybe I should read that, but that there's otherwise no distinction here. Whether you're engaged in lay life or you're living the life of the priest, you can still take this up wholeheartedly, completely. You can engage it. Maybe you can't always get here to the Zendo and sit a lot. Maybe you can't even sit a lot at home or whatever because your life is too complex or whatever. But nevertheless, you can engage your life wholeheartedly and completely, even as a lay person. In that sense, there's no distinction to be made here. So he says that Dogen encourages us to become a priest so we can devote our lives to Zazen practice. He said one character of Dogen's teaching is that society is never denied, nor are the laity ever haughtily brushed aside. Whether priests or laymen, Zazen is a universal mode of meditation, a universal way of cultivating the mind. He said, for him, religion must prepare the way for liberation of all human beings. If only the elect can awaken, then religion is suspect. Dogen's contribution was to teach that the practice of Zazen opened the way to universal enlightenment. Okay, so what is this then, this practice of Zazen, this total engagement, this practice of Shikan Taza? Well, it is to go beyond just simply following the breath. I'm going to talk now about Shikan Taza more specifically. What I've done up to this point is just kind of give you a sense in the background of what that kind of mind is and the spirit with which we engage this practice, and that we shouldn't be thinking of it as just being isolated and manifested in, you know, Zazen practice, sitting practice, but it's completely in every aspect of our life. But now I want to talk about this practice of Shikan Taza itself, and more in the sense of how we might think of it in the sitting practice. But it is to go beyond just simply following the breath, because the awareness, as we learn to sit in tranquility, in quietness, in stillness, the quality of our mind begins to change. The persuasion or the compelling reality of the objects, these begin to diminish for us. And if that's really true, if that begins to occur, if that is occurring to us in this quietness, in this settling down, so does the self begin to grow quiet and still. Fewer and fewer distinction can be made by this. Dogen talks about this finally as a dropping off of body and mind, and the bodies and minds of others drop away as well. And this is just sitting here in total stillness and also with full awareness. Now, as I was saying earlier, generally when we sit in stillness like this, well, easily we can go into kind of a trance. But if you do that, that's because you are fixating on an object. Okay, we're not talking about fixating on an object. And one of the reasons that I teach, Katagiri Roshi used to teach too, that just to stay with the breath, and I've talked about this before, is to draw our mind, bring our mind into this vicinity here of this area that is neither subjective nor objective. So we kind of hold our attention here. The breath, you know, you've heard me talk about that, I think, right? The breath is, it's either both subjective, and I mean, it seems to be me, you know, and yet at the same time I can observe it like an object. So we let our mind settle down, quiet down, right here in this general vicinity between the self and other, and we begin to discover that we don't find this distinction between self and other. And in a sense, we end up going, like in a trance where you might go into a single-pointed concentration on a particular point or an issue or an object of some kind, and all the subject has also been sharpened here in contradistinction to that. Here, the awareness is general. It isn't picking up on any particular point, not even the breath. And yet the breath is still there. But the breathing in is no different than the breathing out. You know, who's breathing? Are you breathing? Yeah, the universe is breathing you. I mean, you know, we shouldn't engage the mind even in that way, what I just did there, like still picking things up. We don't need to do that, and yet there is this presence here, this being present with what is taking place. And this is entering into a kind of stillness and a kind of quietude of mind that is fully aware. And this single-pointed concentration, this point that we become aware of, if you finally get into a pure meditative state of mind, it's just pure mind, you discover that, and we've talked about this before, but the characteristics of mind and mind objects is that they don't have any dimension, they don't have any, there's no substance to them as such, we can't locate them, we don't know where they're occurring, can't even tell when they're occurring. In other words, the awareness that we come to, that single-pointed concentration, is like a point that has no dimension. And in a sense, it includes everything. It includes everything that is occurring right here now, within this moment. And it doesn't have any particular size to it, or dimension, or duration to it whatsoever. Okay, so this is a single-pointed concentration in this way. This is shikantaza. This is being here with full awareness. It's not being lost in trance. It is being fully present with what is taking place. In other words, whatever is taking place is here present with you in this moment. It isn't shut down. Because when we, what I'm trying to help you with here is to see, because when we talk about the single-pointed concentration, people tend to think of something like a trance, where everything else is shut out. But here, nothing is shut out. Everything here is included, but it is not included as something separate and apart and over there. It's just occurring here in this kind of a spaceless and timeless way. And this is a kind of a single-pointed concentration. And it is just sitting. Like Katagiri Roshi uses the example of sitting just like a frog. Just sitting like a frog, and with this kind of awareness. So we're sitting so that, like the frog will, just sits in zazen, full awareness. And frogs are lucky, see, because they probably don't have a lot to think about. Whereas our minds are very active and busy, and we come up with a lot of, so we can generate a lot of reality within our minds. But a frog isn't quite so disturbed by that. So a frog can really sit there fully aware, see. So if the fly lands over here, see. Even frog acts like it's not really paying attention, but in an instant, the tongue is over there, gets the fly, perfect shot, That's shikantaza, just really being present and aware of what is taking place. But it's including, see, this single-pointed awareness is including that spot over there, you see. Because that spot over there isn't something over there, it's present with what is taking place here. That's that single-pointed concentration. It's taking place in a dimensionless way. And this is like sitting in shikantaza. As you become more settled and focused in your meditation, as you become more experienced as a meditator, it becomes more and more critical. A number of things start to become more and more critical, probably and no more critical than they were, but you might become more and more sensitive to them. And one of them is, like, for example, finding stability in your posture. One of the reasons Katagiri Roshi told me, he's trying to encourage me to sit full lotus, And I said, I can't do it. He said, well, full lotus is best. He said, full lotus is more, I can't remember if he said restful, something like that. No, but he said, I think he actually said relaxing. And I said, relaxing? He says, for your mind. He said, because my body just wouldn't do that. But it's important. And I used to sit half lotus. I don't do that now because I'm getting older and I've had some problems now. But you want to be able to, to the extent that you can sit full lotus or get closer to that, better off you are. And let me tell you why now. But I mean, now I said Burmese, and this is perfectly fine. Or for some people, if you have to sit in the chair, that's okay. And particularly if you get the chair set just right, like the chairs we have upstairs, and get your feet flat on the floor and all the rest of that, that's fine. But the closer you can get to, say, a full lotus, what you're going to find is greater stability than the physical posture that you're sitting in. And this is very important. This is one of the reasons that we use those support cushions for people when they're new to this, and I certainly had to use those for several years at the beginning. I was very stiff. It took me a long time to be able just to get my knees down. But it's important to finally learn to do that because you want to get this kind of stability in your posture. Because Katagiri Roshi is right, to the extent that we have the stability in our posture, then the mind can kind of relax. It's like one less thing that it has to keep track of, so to speak. We end up in this kind of a stable kind of mind. So we sit, with this kind of a triangular base when we're sitting cross-legged on the floor, at least. And then the lower spine is curved forward. So this will shift our weight, the weight of our torso, into this triangular position. And that's why we do it. Well, we do it for a number of reasons. Also, you're maintaining your back as you normally would when you're standing or walking. You keep this lumbar curve. You can, if you're slouched like this, you can't breathe. So now you can breathe. So for all these reasons. But this is something I don't really talk about in the early classes because it doesn't really mean much to you at the beginning. But to find this kind of stability in your posture is very important. This is why posture is important in your sitting position. mainly because you want to get that that stability, and yet at the same time you want to keep, you know, the spine straight so you remain alert. When we're sitting in this way, keeping we've learned now, breath can kind of drop away, and yet there's still awareness of breathing. There's awareness of the room, awareness of thought, awareness whatever's coming up. There's awareness of that, but we're not taking hold of anything. It's all done gradually. We've learned to just, you observe this wordlessly. You're not identifying that sound, that conversation, that creak in the building, that ache in the knee, that thought that just bubbled up and is gone. You know, there's awareness, these different things, but we're not taking hold of it. We're not labeling anything. We're not identifying anything. If there's full awareness of things that are occurring, we're doing this in this kind of stability. And Kagyur Roshi used to speak of, you know, just sitting like a mountain. You know, your head is like the peak of the mountain. You have this broad base like a mountain. And just sitting there, you know, quietly and still. Well, these things that are occurring, the thoughts that are coming up, sounds that you hear, pains that you feel, sensations or whatever, it's just like so many clouds just drifting by. You're just sitting here quietly like a mountain. And we just let them go by. You can actually use this kind of an image, take that kind of an image, but don't hold to it too tightly. You know, kind of first settle into that, get that sense of stability like a mountain. Yeah, there's stuff that comes by, but just as the mountain doesn't interact or fight or block the clouds, it just lets them pass by. You can just sit and learn to sit and allow whatever it is that's occurring, that's coming up in the mind, just to let it pass by. We don't interact with it. We don't grab hold of it. We don't identify it. We don't label it. We don't say anything about it. It's just gone. Maybe later on, after you zazen, you get up, you might have remembered maybe something that occurred. Just because it goes by like that and you didn't take hold of it doesn't mean that you've lost it, that it's gone forever or anything of that sort. And yeah, Lee had mentioned too, in some places where they would recommend that maybe you take a little notebook here, so some idea comes. Well, you can do that. That's fine. But I'd recommend, if you really want to engage yourself fully, completely, totally in this moment, you don't want to do that, because that's just going to keep pulling you out and you know, separating you from what is actually taking place in this moment. But this is the practice, then, of Shikantaza. It's just sitting quietly in that way. Gradually, you can find this way of sitting and allow yourself to do that. I think one of the things that hampers us and slows us down and keeps us from actually finding this kind of quietness in our mind is because we, as we sit here, we will continue to engage the whatever it is that's occurring. Gradually, as we sit here, you might actually find that no clouds are passing by at all. But then, sooner or later, something will drift by, you know. But gradually, we can learn to just let those things pass by. When we're engaged in this sitting meditation, we can also then learn, as we go out into the world, our jobs, dealing with one thing or another, we can learn to take this very same kind of maybe a dispassionate mind, but it's not a mind that's not engaged or anything, but it's just not being caught, and you know, emotionally you're not carried away by one thing or another, but we can be fully engaged in what is taking place, and then we can remain sane. Like, for example, this whole incident about the gun law and all of that kind of stuff, and the stuff that we had to do, it'd be so easy for us to just really get hopping mad. And like I mentioned myself, there were times I could feel the anger kind of coming up, you know, and I expressed that a little bit to Jean, my wife. But fortunately, when I get here, once in a while, when I'm talking to a few of you in the office or something, but we have to learn to, when I'm here and I'm sitting before you now, and I become fully aware of this mind that we're speaking of here, we need to come back to this and to find this, and to learn to work out of this, to bring this into every activity. So this would be Shikan, dealing with the gun law, Shikan. You know, we can do that with that kind of a mind. In other words, we're fully engaged, we're fully present and aware. We've come to this with some sanity, with some balance, with some fairness of mind. Also understanding the confusion that we're all caught up in, and we should never, you know, think of it as somebody else's confusion and not your own, etc. Because the next moment, you know, you do that, you're just as confused. You're caught up in it again. We should never lose sight of that. I don't know what else to say. It's very difficult to talk about this shikantaza. But I'm telling you this now, pointing this out, because I want you to know that there is this kind of a mind. I can't say exactly what it is, but just to indicate that it's there, you will find it. Maybe you've already noticed that you found it in a moment or two. Again, like I say, if you know that self enters back into it, that defining thing or one thing or another, just realize that this isn't shikantaza. But gradually, you know, maybe we can come to realize this. Well, we have 10 minutes left for the hour anyway. So maybe you have some questions or comments or any arguments. Maybe Norm wants to straighten me out now.
No.
Yeah, Mike.
Well, you mentioned gradually you can find this mind. Can you say some more about it?
Well, actually, the mind will find you. This mind, you know.
Or how it finds you. I mean, you know, you start out following your breath, but.
Well, the following the breath is just to help. If we're really agitated, if we're in a lot of turmoil, very difficult for us now, first of all, even to do shikantaza. This Zen school is like, yeah, Soto Zen, yeah, do shikantaza, yeah, but pretty hard when you're used to a mind like this. So following the breath is pretty good, and that's that unique object. It isn't like anything else that we would set out there, a thought or a mantra or an object of some kind that will leave us in dualism. The breath will let us settle down in this vicinity that's neither subjective nor objective. And that's just kind of a good place to kind of settle into, because what we're settling into is that there's really no line there, you know. And if we're... What we'll tend to do, you see... what we tend to do is we leap from either we're fixated on something, kind of like trance or even actual trance meditation, or we leap out of that and go into a mind of turmoil so like in the mind of turmoil, we might be aware of one thing or another, and yet there's turmoil, you know. We leap over here, we get into tranquility or quietness, but then we're not very aware either. We're in trance, we're shut down. So that's kind of there's two extremes, the dangers that we fall into. This is about engaging ourselves in such a way that we don't tend to get pulled off on either one side or the other with that.
How is that done, though?
Well, just as I've been saying, learn to just bring yourself back to this, and it's a matter of just noticing what it is that you're doing, how it is that you're engaged and that you're caught by this, and just bring yourself back. You're off and you bring yourself back. But gradually, as you quiet down here, all of these things become softer, quieter, including the breath. You know, like Dogen says at some point, you know, it's like body and mind drop away, you know. And yet, nothing's really dropped away. There's still a body here. There's still mind here. There's still a sense of stability in the body. But it's not a body. It's not breath. Is it breathing in or breathing out? Like Suzuki Roshi says in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, he talks about, like a swinging door. It's just a swinging door. There's this oscillation. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but slowly we enter into this kind of a state of quietude. We can find that. We can cultivate that in ourselves, and then things will change. And along with that, at some point comes a realization of no separation, no distinction. That's kind of a momentary egolessness, you know. But when we engage in that way, now this is shikantaza. And with this, we can begin to actually see the nature of how things are, you know, what's really going on here.
So our effort is just to bring yourselves back.
To bring yourself back. Learn not to qualify it. Learn not to comment on it. Commenting on yourself, identifying yourself in some way as, oh, you know, I did it again, or any of that stuff. Just don't do it. Because, see, it doesn't matter what's happening. You know, that's just one more of the things that's going on, so don't make a big deal out of it. It's all grist for the mill. So, and one piece of it, you know, one piece of your delusion isn't any better or worse than another. And it's all just kind of swimming around there. And so don't get caught up in it. And that's it also, you're trying to get something out of this. There's still some motive behind that kind of a question. You know, you're trying to get hold of something. You want to proceed to some point. Just forget all of that. Just forget about how do you get there. How do you forget that? Because if you keep asking that and you keep trying, well, you know, don't you see what that is? It's here I am and I want to get over there. But this isn't about that. This is about noticing that we're doing just that very thing that you did right there. You see. And then if you notice that, that's it. Not another word about it. Now just stay here, you know. That's all. That's it. But it's a very subtle thing. But we keep going on. Darn, you know. And there we are. We just form everything all over again, you see. So how do you do this? Well, just start, you know, notice. But we have to realize the subtlety with which we grasp, you know. And it's quite profound, you know. Extremely subtle. Our grasping mind. And you should never underestimate it. Because any kind of thought of, you know, well, I know, but that's ego talking. So don't ever think you got it. That's why Norm and I, we just feel like a lot of fools most of the time, don't we?
Nothing to get and no one to get it.
Yeah. And then I have to get up here and talk like this, you know. Yeah. So, but anything else?
It seems like anybody who can sit, she can tell that would have to be an enlightened person. Because to be able to reach that tranquility, awareness, dropping away.
Well, it's not a chicken and an egg. It is kind of a chicken and an egg thing. Yes, shikantaza, strictly speaking, shikantaza is enlightenment. You know, that's we're practicing enlightenment. But if you say, well, gee, you'd have to be enlightened, you're making it too hard now. Because now enlightenment, well, that's something else. That's not me. That's something else. And there we go again, you see. So just forget all about that. And well, what is this enlightenment anyway? If you just be here, this is enlightenment. So we have to, don't think in terms of what that would mean. And, you know, then we're kind of calculating and
do this, and if I can do this, then should
yeah.
be in this place.
Yeah. So it's just very simple.
I know
just...
I can't do that.
But yeah, but see, you don't know. You know, you can do, you can do.
Second, maybe.
Well, you'd be amazed at what, as Kagiri, you know, reminded us finally at the end. Just don't forget, you're Buddha. Don't forget who you are. You know that you have this capacity to awaken and. Just don't make any big deal out of it, and don't try to get it. Just forget that, and just attend to what you're doing now, right now in your own mind. That's all we need to do. Anything else?
I had this image when you were talking about the mountain of the mountain, thinking, I am a mountain.
Yeah, forget I am a mountain. All we're talking about is a wordless thing. Of course, I'm using words, unfortunately, but if I didn't use words, I can't convey to you, you know, what it is, the sense in my mind, you know, that I'd like you to have. So I have to use words, and it's not the same thing. But as you're sitting here, it's not that you're a mountain, but can you imagine, for a moment maybe, yeah, imagine yourself, you are a mountain. Okay, imagine that for a moment, but not like, I'm a mountain, and, you know, like, I'm a little teapot, you know, nothing like that, no, in the sense of, get inside the mountain, be the stone, you have the mountain peak and the broad base, get a sense of that, the feeling, the weightiness, the stability of it, just sitting. Sense that now bodily. It's a bodily, just bodily, have a sense of that. Just being here, stable on the earth. That's what we're talking about. So it isn't. I'm a mountain. No. That's all head. And this, we're just getting beyond the thought of it, and having the bodily sense of it. But then don't even do that. I mean, at that point, let that go too. Just let it all go. But have that sense of stability. You know. Also, I mean, other things too will gradually. I mean, I've just recently learned a lot about the eyes, how to hold the eyes. And I realize for years I've been holding my eyes too shut. I now hold them quite open. They're not wide open, but they're pretty open. And but gradually you'll notice these kinds of things. And you'll notice what is quietest, you know, where your mind really gets quiet. And all of these things are there. It's a matter of you just noticing. But as you notice these things, you don't have to say anything about it. You know, say, oh, that's the point. That's the point. Where, you know, just realize that that's there. And you'll find these things. Find that, you know. But don't say anything about it. Don't convert it all into words, into concepts. Just, you know, because we're talking about an objectless awareness, nothing in particular here. Let it all just settle down, you know, quiet down. And you'll discover that what's going on is, you know, the world is acting. Things is like the frog sitting here and suddenly a fly lands. You know, something is acting, but you're present with it. You don't have to bring any of it on. You know, it all just keeps coming up. And then when the bell rings in the Zendo, time to get up, and we walk out, and all right, now, Shikan, whatever it is, get your boots, have a conversation in the front hall, you know. And we don't engage that so perfectly, maybe, that's all right. But just make that effort. Make that effort, just come back to it. Okay, we have gone over now, in case we're all expecting to end at 9, I don't want to hold anybody here, but on the other hand, if you have another question, I'll take one. But you're quieting down. You're finding that Shikan mind there. Nothing? Okay, we probably should end it though. So, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.